I have lived long enough to notice this. The gravity of this life regularly pulls me down. Everything around me distracts me with earthly concerns and basic down-to-earth demands. And if I'm not careful, almost every hour of every day can be consumed by the cares of life. 2017 bid us goodbye recently with the reputation of being one of the most stress-filled years for Americans. As a nation, we were stressed by natural disasters, by politics, by sexual misconduct. Changes in the job market, changes in the laws, changes in technology. One social analyst called it the year of the gawk, with so many reasons to stand staring open-mouthed. So maybe you're ready to turn the page. But what will the new year bring? No one knows for sure, right? As Yogi Berra put it so wisely, he said this. He said, let's look at that slide. It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future. I would agree with that. But here's what I know we can say for sure. Unless we are intentional, the gravity of this life will continue to pull us down. Unless we are intentional, the stuff of this life will continue to distract and divert us from God's higher calling. I will say it even more strongly than that. Satan likes a gawk environment. He wants to keep us so preoccupied with the things of earth that they block the things of heaven. Satan likes a gawk environment. And so here's where I find myself at the beginning of 2018. I long for something higher. Something in me resonates with the prayer of Jesus that urges us to beg for God's kingdom to so permeate our existence that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that something of heaven would invade my earthly existence. Do you want that too? I read about this computer engineer. He's designing a 10,000-year clock. Get this. It ticks once a year. The hand advances one notch every century, and it cuckoos every millennium. His motivation is to inspire people to think more about the future and to do things with their lives that will outlast them, that will last beyond their own lifetimes. And that is such a challenging thought, such a wild concept for us as a culture, because we have chronically short attention spans. We live in the now, in the nanosecond, in the immediate. And still there is this tug, right? The Bible challenges us in the midst of this world where we focus so much on the immediate to think long term, to think about things from a higher perspective. In Psalm 90, verse 4, we read these words, 1,000 years in your sight, Lord, are like a day that has just gone by. In other words, 1,000 years is just a tick, one tick on heaven's clock. This morning we begin a brand new series that invites us to choose a higher focus this year. It is simply called Vertical, and it is grounded in the passage from Colossians 3:1 that says, set your hearts on things above. In fact, the entire passage says this, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and you are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. And so it coaches us, it counsels us to set our minds on, and our hearts on things that are above. So how do we do that? How do we live with a higher focus this year? In light of all the things that keep us up at night, and all the things that get stuck in our heads during the day, how do we elevate our thinking? Maybe for you it's an upcoming surgery or a job interview or an important test or a relational conflict or some area of stress as you anticipate the future. With all the worries, the pressures, the decisions that we face, how do we live with a higher focus? Open with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to spend the month in this important chapter. And from today's passage alone, we will see three ways to elevate our thinking and four benefits to doing so. Hope you have your Bible with you. You can use your app on your phone if you'd like. Colossians chapter 3, it is a incredibly reorienting chapter and perfect for us as we begin the new year. It begins this way. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. The first way I live with a higher focus is when I remember my spiritual position. Paul says, since then you've been raised with Christ. In the Bible, there are three aspects to Jesus' resurrection. First, there is the historical event, what we call Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead. Historically grounded in history, 3 days after the crucifixion, the tomb was empty, and Jesus rose from the dead. It was the crowning proof of his divinity, and it became the blessed hope of Christianity. This historical event. When the Bible talks about the resurrection, that's one of the things it's talking about. Secondly, when the Bible talks about the resurrection, there is this promise of the future resurrection for believers. That is, one day God will resurrect all believers to be with him forever in heaven. That is in the future. Sometimes the Bible talks about the resurrection. It means our resurrection in the future as believers. But there is a third aspect. And this is the risen life that as believers we can experience right now. This is our spiritual position with Christ right now. And it's this idea that we positionally have been resurrected and can experience that currently. And Paul regularly talks about this as already happening. For example, listen to what he says in Ephesians. In Ephesians 2:6, he says this, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Past tense. In other words, while one day the resurrection will be a physical reality for all those who have put their trust in Jesus, Paul says that we can experience that reality early, spiritually. We can participate in the risen life right now. A dad and his five-year-old son were driving past a cemetery, and they noticed this large pile of dirt next to a freshly dug grave. The boy stared at it for a second and then said, "Look, Dad, one got away." What if people said that about us? Look, one got away. One got up. What if people said, most people I know in this world are living on a very ground level existence. They care only about things on a very horizontal level. But there is a group of people from Green Valley Church who seem to experience life at a higher level. They seem to be living as if they're raised, elevated with Christ, seeing things from that perspective, motivated because that's where their minds and hearts are. I mean, I'm sure the people in Paul's day were just as distracted by everyday life as you and I are. I'm sure they were earthbound people with real challenges, bills to pay, and mouths to feed. But Paul writes to them as if they were already, past tense, been resurrected. In fact, we'll see in a moment when we uncover more of this passage, he writes to them as if they've already died, they've already been raised, and they are now hidden with Christ in God in heaven. Again, this is the third aspect of resurrection. The ability to live with this higher perspective, this heavenly motivation. Mathematician Blaise Pascal once said this. He said, "It's one of the greatest principles of Christianity that which happened in Christ, in Jesus Christ, may happen in the soul of the Christian." We have a linking not only with Calvary, but also with his resurrection. In other words, it is not only that when Jesus died, we died and our sins were nailed to the cross with him. He says it's more than that. We have a linking with his resurrection. When he rose and ascended to heaven, we ourselves spiritually have been seated there as well. This is one of the great truths of being a believer, that not only Jesus' death, but also his resurrection has experiential impact on us right now. The starting place to living with a higher focus then is remembering my spiritual position. Yes, I live in the world, and yes, I have responsibilities and obligations here, but spiritually, I have already been raised with Christ, and I can access that risen life perspective right now. Now, once I remember my spiritual position, I need to elevate my affection. I'm thinking now of the second part of verse 1. It continues, since then we've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That phrase, set your hearts, carries the idea of this intense striving after something. It touches our longings and our passions, our desires, our yearnings. It means to long for something so desperately, to passionately pursue it, to set our hearts. This is the focus of my life, and I'm just yearning, longing, driven towards it. In other words, elevate your affection. And it's not so much that we're supposed to set our affection on heaven. The Bible is relatively stingy when it comes to the details of heaven. Rather, how does the verse put it? Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. In other words, set your affection on Christ, on Jesus. The Bible says though we don't see him, we love him. Set your affection on Jesus, risen and seated at the right hand of God. Because one of the best ways to dispel the cravings of this earth is to fall in love with Jesus. I'll say it again. One of the best ways to dispel the cravings of this life is to fall in love with Jesus. When we begin to love him, we love the things he loves, and we value the things he values. So elevate your affection, this passionate pursuit after Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. Elevate your affection. But it's not just setting your heart. Paul goes on to further instruct us in verse 2 this way. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If I'm going to live with higher focus this year, I won't just elevate my affection, I will also elevate my attention. I will also elevate my attention. So what's the difference between setting my heart and setting my mind? Because this passage says both. Paul says set your heart on things above, and then he says set your mind on things above. What's the difference between the two? Well, I already told you that setting your heart has to do with this longing, this striving, this passionate pursuit in a single direction. Setting your mind has to do with a deep concentration. In other words, it calls for focus and attentiveness, giving our attention fully to the things of God. Our dog at home is tennis ball obsessed. He will chase his little orange ball literally until he drops over and over again. It's just instinctual. It's built into him. He watches every flick of my wrist, every subtle movement. He's ready to move, ready to go, always watching. His eyes are fixed upon that orange ball. I think his New Year's resolution is not to chase it until it leaves my hand, because he always goes for the fake, right? And he's like, I can't believe I fell for that again. But he's getting better. He's getting better. He's built up this mound of dirt in our backyard where he turns around at the end of the yard. And so now, if the ball hits that mound of dirt just right, it launches over the fence. And he will pop his head up over the fence and watch until you retrieve it. He will not give up. He just stares at the ball. You can try and distract him. It doesn't matter. He's just going to focus on that ball until you return it, until you get it back. His mind and his heart are set on the tennis ball. That's the idea that Paul has in mind when he talks about attentiveness. That kind of single focus, heart and mind, emotion and thought. And it has become a great picture for me of what it is like to have this mindset, this heart set, that is focused all of my attentiveness and all of my affection on the things of God. But somebody is wondering, am I really not supposed to think about earthly concerns at all? At least I'm wondering that. After all, verse 2 does say, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In opposition to the things of earth, we're supposed to set our mind purely on things of heaven. Am I really not supposed to think about earthly concerns at all? Taken to an absurd extreme, that would mean that we don't care about our families, we don't care about our marriages, we don't care about our jobs, which goes directly against what Paul will instruct us about later in this very chapter. Paul obviously knew that we would have bills to pay, duties to follow up on, obligations in this life. More than that, it is clear from the rest of the Bible that God wants us to be full participants in this life on earth, fully engaged and fully alive as we enter into this life. So what does it mean? The answer seems to be embedded in the phrase where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See that at the end of verse 1, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God is the place of authority. We now draw our authority from Jesus in heaven. That is, the earth is no longer our master. The things of this world no longer dictate what we're going to do. We take our lead from heaven. Yes, we're fully engaged in this world, but we are drawing orders. We are drawing our command center. We are drawing our instructions from heaven itself. God's kingdom takes priority over every other allegiance in our life, and that is the motivation. In fact, that's the very power to live the life that God intends us to live. Right here. We are engaged in this world, but we're engaged with a different command center. The authority of heaven, the right hand of God, is now that which dictates what we do. It all goes back to one of the top 10 quotes of my life. You've heard it often. C.S. Lewis explained it this way. He said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. And he was simply paraphrasing what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 when he said, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be given to you as well, talking about all the things that we worry about regularly in this life. When God's kingdom and his perspective, his higher focus takes central focus in our lives, then it impacts everything else on an earthly level. You see, it's a matter of focus and priority. Jesus' authority in heaven is the guiding force behind all the down-to-earth decisions that we face. The devil is going to try to tell you that if you focus so much on heaven, you're going to miss out on the things of earth. And the reality is just the opposite. As you focus on the things of heaven, you will be properly engaged and be able to appreciate fully and appropriately the things of earth. You will enjoy them more in their rightful place. Fully engaged in this world because now you're drawing your perspective from vertically, from God himself. So there you have it. We can live with a higher focus if we remember our spiritual position. We elevate our affection as well as our attention. And why wouldn't we? Especially when you consider all the benefits. The first benefit comes in verse 1. We've looked at this verse a couple times, but let's look at it one more time. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When we set our hearts and our minds on things above, we suddenly have a higher authority. We've covered this to a certain degree already, but I want to camp on this a little bit further. As I've already mentioned, the right hand of God is the place of his authority. It is the place of supremacy. It is the highest place. We live in a world where there are so many so-called experts. Everybody's telling us different things to do. But when we live life vertically, we have this higher authority, God in His Word. So a great question to ask yourself in 2018, as you enter head first into this new year together, what does God say about this? Is there instructions in His Word? Is there guidance in the Bible? For all the important decisions that you face, is there something that God speaks into this from the Scriptures? Well, the Bible doesn't cover every topic. You can be certain of this. It covers everything that you need to know about your relationship with Him. And this is a great benefit. With a higher focus, you have a higher authority. No longer the whims of the world dictating what we do. We have a higher source, God Himself, who dictates to us how we're supposed to live as everything around us vacillates. Another benefit is that you also have a higher appetite. I'm thinking now of verse 2, which says this: set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You see, the things of earth, even the best things of earth, let us down. All the cravings that we have, all the things that we long for, they are ultimately frustrating and intentionally frustrating, so that we would ultimately look to God for our fulfillment. I am, again, going to lean on C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity when he writes this. He says, most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. The longings which no marriage, no travel, no learning can really satisfy. He goes on to say, I'm not speaking of what would ordinarily be called unsuccessful marriages or holidays or careers. I am speaking of the best possible ones. I think everyone knows what I mean. The wife may be a good wife, and the hotels and scenery may have been excellent, and the chemistry may be a very interesting job, but something has evaded us. You see his point, right? We all know that there are bad things that around us that offer to satisfy. We could list them pretty quickly. The things in the world that are bad things that offer to satisfy us, and we know right away they're going to disappoint. But Lewis is saying that even our best and noblest appetites on earth ultimately don't satisfy, because they're not supposed to. Indeed, when we live vertically, then, we seek things that are above. We have this higher appetite. We long for that which God alone can satisfy. And it puts our appetites in their rightful place. We long for a God who satisfies, and then He gives us the ability to enjoy the things of life appropriately, because He is our ultimate and first and highest satisfaction. So another great question to ask yourselves in 2018 is, how can I find more and more satisfaction in the things of God? How can I allow that higher perspective to whet my appetite for that which will ultimately and only satisfy me? And then I'll be able to appreciate the fulfillment of life as it was meant to be fulfilled and meant to be enjoyed, because God is in his proper place. This is a great benefit of higher living, of higher focus, is that our appetites are kept in check. Another benefit of higher living is greater security. Look at verse 3. Paul says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." What does that mean? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. To be hidden is Old Testament language for being protected by God. There's an Old Testament way to say you're hidden is to say that God is protecting you. Let me give you a couple examples. This is an amazing benefit. For example, in Psalm 27:5, we read this, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." See that? To be hidden in a high place. This is an Old Testament concept that God hides us in this high place and we're protected there. Or later in the Psalms, in Psalm 31, it says this, "In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues." So isn't that great? When we live vertically, we have this greater sense of security. So another great question to ask yourself in 2018 is, how can I fix my mind on higher things so much so that I am protected from the things that regularly make me feel insecure and vulnerable and shaky in this world? How can I fix my mind on things so much so that there is this natural separation? I'm living at so much higher level that the things that naturally make me feel insecure no longer have the reach to find me because I'm hidden with Christ in God. But perhaps the best benefit is the final one. We also find greater success. Look at verse 4. "When Christ, who is your life," that's a great phrase alone, Christ, who is your life. "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Here's the spiritual connection. Here's the logic that Paul has been presenting thus far. Jesus died, you died. Jesus was raised, you were raised. Jesus is hidden in heaven with God, you are hidden in heaven with God. All of that is past tense. It's already happened spiritually, experientially, positionally. But then Paul writes about the future. In the future, he says, Jesus will make this glorious appearing, and in the future, if we are living with this higher focus, we too will appear with him in glory. This is a new and a greater definition of success, that we will appear with Jesus, that we will be on the platform with him. We will be succeeding in the areas that he succeeds. So here is another great question to ask yourself as you enter into 2018. Ask yourself the question, am I succeeding in the ways that heaven applauds? Vertical living gives us higher level of success. We're succeeding in those areas that ultimately matter to God because we're drawing our authority from him. Researchers tell us that only about 40% of Americans made a New Year's resolution a week ago. They also tell us that most of those resolutions that were made have already failed at the 1 week point into the year. Even more, 80% of them will fail in the first 3 months, they tell us. But here is a success that really matters. To get to the end of our lives and know that what we did was aligned with God and a sign from heaven. That's what I long for. To say that the things that I am pouring my life into, the goals that I am choosing to pursue, are aligned with God and a sign from heaven. To hear at the end of my life, "Well, good," or "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's a success that really matters. So what is keeping you from a higher focus this year? It's been said, we are kept from our goal not by obstacles, but by a clear path to a lesser goal. In other words, we get distracted by earthly pursuits. The gravity of this world pulls us down and we're just distracted by these things that are much clearer that seem to, they're pressing, they're right in front of us. And the lofty calling to live our lives from a heavenly perspective gets lost. As we enter 2018, God calls us to a higher focus, a greater goal, to live our lives vertically aligned with Jesus in heaven, to draw our authority, our motivation, our power, our sense of purpose from there. Instead of getting mired by the gravity of the earthly things, let's set our hearts and minds, that is, our affection and our attention, on the things above. Because that will be true success, not only this year, but every year. Let's pray.